come on, these Christians have known who the Muslims are for 1400 years, ever since their satanic religion started.
Priests who have actually acknowledged and said that Prophet Muhammad is a prophet.
I think he was Muhammad was a genuine prophet of one God.
You love Jesus, but if they ask you, they say, well, why don't you believe that he's God, Son of God, and he died for your sins? His religion is not mentioned. Doesn't seem like being called a terrorist attack, but you've memorized the entire Quran.
Yes. I started memorizing when I was 7. I completed when I was 9.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين
This is the Deen Show. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace, welcome to the Deen Show. Got an exciting show for you. We're going to touch upon a array of topics.
Police in Liverpool describing him as a 53-year-old white British man.
We had the Liverpool...
Oh my God! What the... Oh my God!
...parade incident. This is where a 53-year-old man has been arrested after a car hit a number of pedestrians in the Liverpool city. So we're going to touch upon this. It's interesting. What's very interesting about this is his religion is not mentioned. Doesn't seem like being called a terrorist attack, but I want to ask my next guest who's with me here in the Deen Show studio, Imam Sulaiman. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. How are you?
How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
How's it going?
Alhamdulillah.
So I have Imam Sulaiman here with me, and you know what's interesting, Sheikh, is
yes.
that we see this quite often when the news hits, and this is yes. something that this sad incident that just happened, but it often repeats that now if this was somebody who looked anything like you, yeah. right, if he had a kufi or he somehow was linked to Islam, this would have been Islamic terrorism, radical Islam, all over the place. Are you familiar with what just happened?
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't follow much, but what I'm sure.
Yeah.
But this is a sadly, like, we see in our community. Mm-hmm. I just, only thing we can, as a Muslim, we will try our best to act whatever is the best according to the Quran and Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Definitely, that's why we call ourselves Muslim and Mu'min. From Silm and Amn, our job to promote the peace and make our neighborhood peaceful. Mm-hmm. But also, at the same time, we cannot control other people's ideology and thoughts. You know, they can think whatever they want, and they can blame whatever they want. You know, so we have no control on it. But there's something we can control, how we can promote ourselves. Mm-hmm. This is the very important. That's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he never taught us what to do with others. Just you focus on your own practice, and teach other what is the best in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and al-muslimu man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. Who's the best Muslim? The best Muslim, not the one who just pray and go and visit the house of Allah
mm-hmm.
and give more charity. The best Muslim, the one who protect others from harming, and the one who can protect others by harming and hitting physically by his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine he said 1400 years ago. And also, the who's the best Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who protect others by harming, by his tongue. Like he's not saying something wrong, he's hurt his feeling. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the surah Al-Ma'idah, long 1400 years ago, لَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. And do not abuse and curse those people, they worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm.
Because eventually, if you abuse and curse, in return, they will curse Allah. And you are the main reason to curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, what I usually, when I see this kind of incident, and when I hear this kind of news, we cannot control the media. We cannot control what they're doing. But we can control our action.
Mm-hmm.
That is the main important thing we have to learn these days, since we are so attached with social media and electronic and the print media as well. Inshallah.
Yeah, the Islamophobic industry, the Islam hate industry, it's a big industry. And you got people who are just dedicated their lives to spreading, manufacturing fear by putting out false information. They would love for this to have been somebody who's somehow connected to being a Muslim. This is that they, you know, they love this. They don't care about the innocent people who are who've been killed, the innocent people who've been injured. But they love now, it's actually a white, 53-year-old white person, but doesn't fit the description that they're looking for. So a lot of times now, this is something that goes against the agenda. And the agenda is to try to make it paint out there that Muslims are the people who are terrorists. Do you, as an imam, do you have neighbors? Do you have people who are concerned, who come in to the mosque, who are asking questions? Or
yes, yeah. Recently, when this happened, I think one of the church, I did not remember exactly how many years ago, I started receiving the calls.
Yeah.
And then I have to explain. The problem is we have two different things. One is the followers of religion and the religion itself. Both are the different.
You got to differentiate the two.
Yeah, differentiate.
The religion, Islam is perfect.
And the followers of the religion.
Yeah.
So, like, every religion has some corrupt and good and bad people, you know. It's based on this people. If you decided, oh, the religion are bad, then there is no religion on the earth. You can say, oh, they're the best. So every religion has some mix, good and bad, you know. So we have to differentiate between Quran and the follower of the Quran. We have to differentiate between Hadith and the follower of the Hadith, you know. So how much we go back all the way 1400 years ago, the life of the companions of the Prophet and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam life itself, then we can understand Islam better. Not the way you are seeing all this false and misconceptions going on, then you will never understand the truth. Mm-hmm. So this is my personal advice. Just start reading the Quran. You know, anyone have any misconception, misunderstanding, don't watch the videos. Don't follow this media. You know, because you don't know who they are sitting there and who plays them.
Mm-hmm.
So our job as a human, I'm just very making very clear statement, not as a believer, as a human. There is no human can discover the truth if we just fall in these traps of this media.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he will just fall this trap of this media, then definitely he will harming himself. So it's better you have scripture, you have Quran, and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am responsible to preserve this Quran, and it's been protected by chest and by books. This is my advice, inshallah. And this is the way I try to defend, you know.
So you're giving advice, read the Quran for yourself, see for yourself what's happening with these Muslims.
Because Allah, he said, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَّا تُبْصِرُونَ. Look at yourself. I mentioned about you in Quran.
Mm-hmm.
One of the shaykh, when he read this ayah, he said, where Allah is speaking about me in Quran? He said, whenever you pass by any words, Allah is speaking about the pious. Just check yourself, are you pious?
Mm-hmm.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the criminals, do you see any sign of the criminals? So this is the way Allah is speaking about yourself in the Quran. So this is my advice. It's better to connect with the religion and the Quran, inshallah.
So I want to get your reaction to this. This is a priest in the UK, I mean, who's supposed to be following the example of Jesus, who Jesus is allegedly stated that he said in the Bible, love your enemies, love your neighbor.
Yeah.
And Muslims are a growing number in the UK and all over. People who are searching to know the purpose of life, why they're here, why they're created. Islam provides all the proof and the evidences, and so that's really captivating so many people when they're doing what you told, what the advice you're giving, when they're opening up the Quran and they're sincere and they're genuine, they're seeing that this book could have not come from anyone other than the creator of heavens and earth. So now you have people like this who are, and I want to get your reaction to see your thoughts and how would you respond to a person of religion now, somebody who's supposed to be bringing people together, but he's uttering things like this. I'm going to get your reaction.
You're being a racist. Come on, these Christians have known who the Muslims are for 1400 years, ever since their satanic religion started. It's satanic, you see. It's absolutely satanic. And again and again, the Catholic Europe, Christian Europe, has had to defend itself against the Muslims. Now the Muslims are sweeping in, and all the stupid liberals are saying, oh, come on in.
Your thoughts, key things that he was saying, Islam, the satanic religion. We have to defend ourselves from the satanic religion. Right away, what came to my mind is every time, and you're a memorizer of the Quran, you've memorized the Quran, and every time you recite the Quran, you say, and every Muslim says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem." I seek refuge with Allah, yes, the Creator, from the cursed Satan. Yes. But he's saying the Satan religion. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, actually, whatever he's saying is something is not like new. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam time, some disbelievers they came and they said, "Oh, you are receiving this Quran from Shaitan,
from the devil,
from the devil." So I think it's not something he just bringing new. It's already been mentioned in the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defended in different ways, you know. So it's very interesting, like you just mentioned. There's the only book, when you start reading, you have to seek protection of Allah from the shaitan and devil. You know? Maybe other book in the Islam, like hadith, you don't have to say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitan." But in the Quran, when you recite, you should say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim." Because the shaitan, the devil, is the only book he hate.
Say it again.
It's the only book he hate to listen, and he hate when he sees someone he's reading.
The devil hates to listen to the Quran.
Yeah, yeah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Surah Al-Jinn, we have the whole chapter of the jinn, the hidden creation which we cannot see. We have the chapter Surah Al-Jinn in the Juz 29.
Yeah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the first verse is, قُلْ أُحْيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. When the group of jinn, when they heard Quran was revealed, and there was shock and surprise. Because we never heard this kind of words in the past. And when the ayat al-kursi, there is the ayah in the Quran which is the head of the entire verses of the Quran. It's called ayat al-kursi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and then whoever recite the ayat al-kursi in the night, the devil will run away from him. So basically this is, and not only this, even anything when the devil and the shaitan, when he sees someone, he's calling towards Allah, he run away from him. He doesn't like to see someone who call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the devil and shaitan, he hate adhan more than salat. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the devil, when they hear the adhan, he far away 3 miles apart. Because he doesn't like invitation. So imagine how these people, they're saying like devil or satanic religion. Imagine our Quran stand with seeking protection from the devil. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And even, interesting, if you look at the orders of the surah in the Quran, the last surah is Surah An-Nas. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Just count how many times we are seeking protection of Allah from how many things. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. First thing Allah said, مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Seek protection of the Lord, who's the Lord of the entire human, from the evil of khannas and waswas. Who are the waswas and khannas? The waswas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two attributes of the devil and the shaitan in this ayah. Waswas, the one who put the whisper in your ears, is shaitan. Khannas is mean, once when you mention the name of Allah, he withdraw and he run away. Allah said, seek protection of the evil of the shaitan when he does the whisper and when he withdraw and when he go back, once when he hear the name of Allah is mentioned. And the last words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the surah, An-Nas, min al-jinnati wa-an-nas. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge from jinnat and the human, the evil human. Mm-hmm. So basically, these are the allegations is not something which is what is speaking is not something new for me. It's already mentioned in the Quran that all the some non-believers of Makkah, they used to come and criticize and attack on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or his sources is shaitan. Mm-hmm. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded in different ways in the Quran.
He's a Catholic priest. There's many Catholic priests who have actually acknowledged and said that Prophet Muhammad is a prophet.
I think he was Muhammad was a genuine prophet of one God.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, I heard, yes.
Yeah, and then another good point that you mentioned is that the devil, shaitan, the devil, Iblis, he doesn't like Quran.
Yes.
So maybe this guy's human, this guy's the human shaitan, the human devil, because he don't like that.
We can just make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
May God Almighty Allah guide him.
Guide him, yes.
But he's calling the religion of God, the Creator, Allah, he's saying it's a satanic religion. It looks like this has been flipped on him.
Yes.
Because now, this is actually, if you investigate, you're going to find that everything that the Quran is calling you to is good.
Yes.
Pure monotheism, tawheed, absolute oneness of God, being morally upright, outstanding character, being good to your family, to your neighbor, staying away from alcohol, from fornication, from adultery. There's nothing in there that you can find now to say that this is something the devil likes. It's everything the devil hates and that God Almighty Allah loves that he's telling you to do is in the Quran.
Yes. The problem is someone decided to cover his ear and eyes and put the blind you cannot show the truth.
Yeah.
Like if you're living in such a small room and has dark everywhere, it's darkness.
Yeah.
You cannot tell them there is a light outside because he believes in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, as a human, we have to be with open mind and open heart. Not to like accept something and reject something, to discover the truth. Doesn't matter anyone. This is why, this is my Sheikh advice. So whenever you read any book, you have to be open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be blind. You see the horse, when you put the blind, he cannot see right and left. This is the way it's happened with these people. I'm very surprised. These days, we have so much technology. In the past, maybe you have to go to the library and pick the book. Now we have anything you can do, research, you can easily find the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something is we have difficulty. You know,
mm-hmm.
So we can only think is to make dua and pray. This is the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the people they used to approach, especially the enemy, what is the best response? Hadahumullah.
Yeah.
Allah guide them.
There is no one out there, and this is not a disrespect to anyone who follows the Bible, but this is just a fact, that there's no one who has memorized the entire Bible in English, let alone in the language that it's been revealed in, but we don't even have a copy of a copy of a copy of any original.
Yeah. All right, I've got my Bible here, and I'm ready to read to you absolutely every book of the Bible that was written by someone who had met Jesus. We can go ahead and skip the Hebrew Bible, since Jesus wasn't alive when that was written, and go straight to the New Testament. You ready? Not a single word. There is not one book of the Bible that was written by someone who had met Jesus. Yes, some of the Gospels are attributed to Jesus' disciples, but scholars agree that they didn't write them. They were written decades after Jesus' death. The earliest Gospel that we have in the New Testament is the Gospel of Mark, and it was probably written around 70 of the Common Era. The attribution of those Gospels to disciples didn't happen for many years. They also don't read like eyewitness accounts and don't even claim to have been written by the disciples. Paul's letters weren't written by someone who had met Jesus. Paul, by his own admission, had never met Jesus. And even that great narrative we have about Saul encountering the risen Christ on the road to Damascus is something that the author of Luke Acts, the same author wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, it's something that he invented for the narrative. Paul never makes a mention of that, and surely if he had encountered the risen Christ, he would have mentioned it. All of the other epistles in the Bible are later, and the book of Revelation is later. None of those authors had ever met Jesus. Now, some people argue that since Jesus is the Word of God, Jesus was involved in the creation of the entire Bible. But that's a theological argument that there doesn't seem to be much evidence for. And certainly, historically, we can prove that none of the Bible was composed by people who had met Jesus. So I think that that means we need to approach the biblical text with a bit of humility. And we also need to approach the sayings of Jesus with some humility, too, because it means that not every saying attributed to Jesus originated with him.
Yes.
So what are you memorizing at the end? Because you have different variations and whatnot. Nothing's really, at the end of the day, original. It's so nobody has memorized the entire Bible. You've memorized the entire Quran.
Yes. I started memorizing when I was 7. I completed when I was 9.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
So within 2 years, I memorized the entire Quran.
People don't understand. That's how you preserve the authenticity of the Quran. That's one of the miracles of the Quran. If you were to get rid of all the religious books, burn them, lock them up, the only text that you can bring back to its completion as a whole is the Quran.
Yes.
And you're one of those people who has the Quran memorized in his mind and his heart. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, if you look at the miracle of the Prophet ﷺ, which was granted by Allah, more than like 300, 400 miracles. But
how many?
More than 300 miracles.
These are miracles that he did on the scene with his companions. Yes. They testify to this, that he did miracles, yes. Literally. Can you name a few?
Like, for example, he split the moon in the two pieces.
Yes.
The people of Makkah, even non-believers, they observed in the same night. The moon was split in the two parts.
Yes.
This is the one example.
I did a topic on this, and my guest was talking about how people in India and other people in different places of the world, in some of their documents, they have this transmitted that this actually happened, that they were witnessing.
They're witnessing, yes.
Yeah.
This is the one. And the second one, the biggest miracle, whatever he spoke about the future sign,
prophecies
already happened.
Yeah.
And some of this is going to be happen.
Uh-huh.
So that is one of the miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he knows something in advance. There is no technology, maybe, you know. And the third, also one time the Sahaba and the companions, they was in the battle, they have shortage of water. You know, they have no water to drink. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called one of his companions to bring the pot. And he put his fingers, and the water started flowing from his fingers.
Now, you got water. This is very important, because we talk about, because of the Quran, we believe the miracles Jesus did, Isa, right?
Yes.
Because of the Quran.
Yes.
But you cannot really prove it at the end of the day. Yeah. But the Quran says, is the proof that he did it. We believe it.
Yes.
But we don't talk a lot about we have the miracle of the Quran, but you have the miracles that Prophet Muhammad actually did. This is one. The water was coming from his fingers.
Yes.
And this is witnessed by not just one person. It was a whole
group of companions.
Companions. So they all.
That's why we hear from this from generation to generation. It's not something one person has stated. You know?
Yeah. So it'd be impossible that they all came together to make this conspiracy up that he did something now that wasn't true. It was they were all had accounts. They're all witnessing this. So go ahead, continue.
So another, which I see, that every single miracle, when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, all the miracle was vanished with him. Except one miracle still is alive.
Yeah.
Is the Quran. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the Quran, I can give you an example. If you lead Tarawih, someone lead Tarawih anywhere in the part of the world, China, Japan, anywhere. If you make one single mistake, there is someone behind you will correct your mistake right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, when I was studying the Sharia, I studied like 8 years. Maybe I read a bunch of books. If you ask me, none of these books, I can tell what they mention in the first page. I didn't even know. But if you ask me what Allah said on this surah, I can tell you right away.
Mm-hmm.
Now I really understand how it's possible. Who's working behind this? I read Bukhari, I read Muslim, I read different book of fiqh and different masail, different like guidelines and all. Even when I get ready for Jummah khutbah, sometimes I have difficulty memorize the ahadith. But the something is Quran. Every single Ramadan, inshallah, mashallah, with the grace of Allah, I've been leading last 25 years Tarawih. None of the, alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have difficulty to lead Tarawih. I memorized when I was 9. And when I just review one time, I got back in my memory. Just tell me, do you think this miracle is not enough for guidance for entire human? You know, one of the priests in the Canada, this thing is invited him towards Islam. He started doing the research. There's a couple of reasons. One of the reasons he mentioned when I was watching his interview, he said, because when I travel different part of the world, Africa, South America, North America, I found different version of Bible, and they have some statement here, and same is the same version or maybe different version, and they have different story, completely the conflict of the story. But when I start reading the Quran, and I found very interesting. It doesn't matter, I listen to the Quran in UK and America, and China and Japan, maybe the translation language is different, but the texts are same. And even when I listen different Qura, then what I start doing, let's play Qari from Turkish. Let's play Qari from India. Maybe they will be different because their language are different, but recitation are same. So that's why we say in Arabic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved this holy book by two things, sutur and sudur, by chest and by written.
Mm-hmm.
The one way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved, by sudur, your chest, like chest to chest, by memory. You know, imagine, Allah, may God forbid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect, if the Quran would be vanished from this earth and burn out, there is no mushaf exist. But still we have million huffaz, they can come forward and they can write the Quran by themselves.
Those are the memorizers of Quran.
Of
like
Quran.
No other book. This is truly a miracle.
A miracle. Like you, me, if you give me 2 days notice, I can read entire Quran, 6,600 verses. In 2 days advance notice, I can read 6,600 verses in one sitting, 7 hours.
Over 6,000 verses give you 2 days' notice, you can go ahead and read it all.
Yes, it maybe takes 7 hours.
By heart.
By heart. No book.
No book.
And someone can follow me.
I want people to really reflect over that. That is really profound.
Yes, I recently, I just watched 3 days ago, there is a masjid in Atlanta, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, that a student, they upload his video on YouTube. He finished the whole Quran when sitting. He started, I think, morning 8 o'clock and finished by 6.
Yeah.
So we have, mashallah, this is the alive miracle of the Quran. You know, though you can, I can notice myself in my life.
Now, there's been some attacks, people who are a part of that industry, that hate industry. They don't sit and spend the majority of their time talking about their religion, okay? They'll spend 99% literally trying to disprove Islam. They'll look for certain things in the hadith and they'll quote things out of context and whatnot. One of the things is, and I want to ask you about this, is regarding the Quran. We know there's different modes of recitation from the Quran. So they'll say, no, look, you see, the Quran, you guys have different versions now.
It's
been changed. And Uthman, he burned the Quran. He was trying to, it was a conspiracy to hide all of these. How do you like to answer that?
Actually, first, whatever they have allegations and whatever the attack they have, actually, this I can tell is illiteracy in religion.
Like, illiteracy in religion. Extremely ignorant,
Extremely ignorant, there is no doubt. Because the Prophet ﷺ said Allah has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran on 7 different huruf. Ala sab'ati ahrufin. What is the ahruf in Arabic? Lahjat, different accent. The way the different tribes used to speak. Let me give you a very best example. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, his title was Afqah. He was the Sahabi and companions of the Prophet have more knowledge of fiqh. Afqahu min Sahaba. He was very knowledgeable in fiqh and masail. Someone asked him the same question. How you define these differences of accent in the Quran? Then he gave a very beautiful example in Arabic. He said, in Arabic, we use 3 words when you call someone. Ta'al, aqbil, halumma. But if you go in Arabic dictionary, ta'al, aqbil, halumma, meaning are the same, come. For example, can you pass the water? Can I have water? Can you give me water? What is the difference?
Say it again. Can you pass the water? Can you give me water?
Can I have water?
Can I have water?
Yeah, what is the difference? If someone says, oh, I see the meaning is changing. No. The way he's expressing is a different way. Same way in the Quran, I can give you example. Wadduha. Wadduhi. But if you look at the meaning, it's the same. But only they see the way one tribe, maybe they pronounce this way, the other one this way. So it's called, because like I mentioned in the beginning, it's illiteracy. Because they don't know the history, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, what was the purpose. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah had a very valid point. He said, al-ikhtilaf fi at-tanawwu' la ikhtilaf fi at-tadad. This ikhtilaf and difference in diversity, not in different conflict of statement. This is the way he said. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. A lot of tribe, one tribe is speaking in different way than other tribe, the same letter is speaking in different accent. Meaning are same, but the way they are pronouncing is different. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was very merciful when he sent down Jibreel to teach Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how he's supposed to pronounce. Then he taught him pronounce like 7 and 10 different styles. But meaning are the same. Meaning is not going, because these people, they have no knowledge about Arabic language. For example, if you sit with someone who born and raised in the UK and you are American, both you have talk, and when you start talking each other, the way they pronounce certain words, completely different style and different like accent. But you understand what he's trying to say. Mm-hmm. You know? So same way, we understand about the Quran, the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, unzil al-Quran ala sam'ati ahrufin. So this ikhtilaf and difference in accent, in pronunciation, not in the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Not is mean, sometimes Allah say, he ate, and other the same ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, he did not eat. It's not like this. So that people have to understand what is the meaning of the differences.
Yeah, it's very profound and deep. Yes. It actually enhances things. When you look at it, when you study this, it actually increases your iman, your faith.
Yes.
But other people, it takes them, because which way you want to go?
Yeah.
So you want to go towards darkness or go towards the light?
Yes.
And when you see and you give, because when you see certain people in certain, like you said, in certain tribes and certain who speak a certain language, if you try to impose something and to have them say a certain, because like Arabs, they have a hard time with English saying, what's the word P? It's not the letter, you know, right? So they have a hard time having certain words pronounced, right? So this is amazing how this was.
Yeah, another example I have, Surah Bani Israel. Allah said, when the human, when he will receive his book of deed,
yeah,
while he will receive, and the book will be open.
Mm-hmm.
It will be open. يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. There is two.
Yeah.
يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا يُلَقَّاهُ مِنْشُورًا. But if you look at the pronunciation, you see the difference. يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا.
Yes.
يُلَقَّاهُ مِنْشُورًا. But meaning are same. The meaning is, the book, while they will receive the book, will be open.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a one. And the book, it will go towards them, and while is it open? What is the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Either the book will be passed by the angel towards them, and they will receive, or they will receive by themselves. So these are the things they have to, how you can attack something you have no knowledge about it, mm-hmm. and you don't even study. You just, based on whatever you listen, or based, because you have already hatred in your heart, and based on you decided, as we know about the Bible, you know, how many version, and each content have different version, not only different story. So imagine the Quran is not like, even if you pick the Quran from Morocco, for example, the North Africa people, usually they follow the riwayah is called warsh.
Yeah.
So if you listen, the recitation is completely different. But if you travel Morocco, maybe when you listen, the Quran is different. But when you buy and purchase the Quran from Morocco, it's same. Letter are same, meaning are same, commentary are same. So how we can say Quran has some contradiction statement?
There is no such thing as having 2, 3, 4 versions of the Quran.
No.
Different translations,
no.
But only one version.
Yes.
Unlike the Bible, where you have multiple hundreds of different versions.
Yes.
You have chunks of passages taken out from this one, and then this one has things added that are not in here. This one, 72 books. This one, 66 books. Nothing like that with the,
yes,
Quran.
And if you look at the first verse, Surah Al-Baqarah, right, Surah Fatiha, what Allah said, Alif Lam Mim, Thalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fi, because Allah knows there is some people that have doubt. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first verse in Baqarah, Allah said, this book has no doubt. La Rayba Fi. Because might be some people, still they believe, well, Quran has some issues,
mm-hmm.
some conflict, some differences. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La Rayba Fi, has no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So Alhamdulillah, since, okay, maybe you can, if you speak someone who's not Hafiz, but I am Hafiz.
Yeah.
I can tell the miracle of the Quran. Sometime, some days maybe I don't review, but it still is on back of my memory. Once when I start reading, I get right away.
Mm-hmm.
Who's helping me? That's why sometimes I ask myself, I don't see any power. Where is this? Coming from where? Like I memorize something like poetry in Arabic, for example, some ahadith, next day, I have no clue, did I memorize or no? But the Quran, imagine when I start memorizing Surah Last Juz, maybe I was 7. After 30 years, it's still back of my memory.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any human can prove this example? You memorize something 30 years ago, and if you wake up someone in the midnight and tell him, read. Like, if I ask you this question, do you remember the name of the book which you learned in the when you were in the maybe 3rd grade or 4th grade? Can you show me some names?
No.
You have no idea. Forget about even the pages, even the book names itself.
Yeah.
But if you ask me, Sheikh, tell me this surah, and can you read a few verses I can read right now?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's not the miracle?
It's
very interesting for me. I don't know about others, but for me,
amazing.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Let's, we're getting into Dhul Hijjah now.
Can you discuss
a little bit, what's Dhul Hijjah, the virtues of Dhul Hijjah? Can you go ahead and break it down?
Alhamdulillah, Dhul Hijjah, one of the sacred months in Islamic calendar. Dhul Hijjah in Arabic, the month of Hajj. Dhul Hijjah, we can translate in English, month of Hajj. And it's a very well-known month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this month in Quran, Ayyaman Ma'lumat, very well-known days. And another place in the Surah Baqarah, Allah said, Ayyaman Ma'dudat, few days. And why Allah, He said, Ayyaman Ma'lumat, well-known? Because it's been well-known even among the non-believers of Mecca pre-Islam time, before the Prophet ﷺ came. Even they used to have respect. And imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have the surah in the Surah Al-Fajr, Juz 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالِنَ عَشْرِ. Allah, He swear by these 10 days. Even some commentators of the Quran said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Musa alayhi salam upon the mountain of Tur, when he was giving the first, the Old Testament Torah, first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised 30 days. Then later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala add 10 more days. Then it's become 40. Then scholar said that 10 days was addition. What was the 10 days? It was first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So imagine from the time of Musa alayhi salam, and this 10 days has very respectful and sacred. And as we know, two unique things we have in Alhamdulillah. Ramadan, we fast in Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected the month of Ramadan with the revelation of Quran. This is the month Allah revealed the Quran. But the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, the month of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected with one of the beautiful pillar of Islam is Hajj. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no good deeds beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the believer, he do the good deeds in the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. The best days. That's why the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا. These are the best day of your worldly life. And what we have to focus, the best zikr the Prophet ﷺ shared with us in the hadith, the best zikr. He said, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّسْبِيحِ. They do this zikr more often. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. And also, as we know, whenever we enter the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, is remind us the legacy of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he was the prophet, all three major religion, Christianity and Judaism and Islam, they believe in the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that's why the first 10 days we perform the Hajj to renew our connection with Sayyidina Ibrahim. And they review the legacy of Sayyidina Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's why, imagine, like, if you ask me this question, why we have to go all the way Mecca and spend money and do exactly what Ibrahim alayhi salam done? Because if you remember some personality in your life, for example, we have different days, Martin Luther Day, for example. What do you do Martin Luther Day? Nothing. You just go and maybe put some flower on the statue or have some gatherings. But Islam doesn't believe this. You just remember someone and put some flower and have some food. No. Islam believe, no. If you understand their true message, do the same thing exactly they done. Then you can remember them. This is the real thing you can remember. Besides, it's just nothing else like gathering and get together and food and just talk something and you just depart. Imagine Sayyidah Hajar, the wife of Sayyidina Ibrahim, she ran between Safa and Marwa for seeking water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her action part of our Umrah and Hajj. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's the one, he pelled the stone in the Mina. Why I have to do this? If you have connection with Sayyidina Ibrahim and you believe in the religion of Sayyidina Ibrahim, Millat Ibrahim, do the same thing exactly which he done once in your life. Then you can remember. We say in Arabic, it's a very beautiful example, you cannot believe in something based on what you heard. You can still believe. But something you see by your own eyes and you participated physically, then it can strengthen and like strong your belief. Same way. If I share the story how Ibrahim alayhi salam, what the challenges he had when he dropped his family in Mecca, how he rebuilt the structure of Kaaba, how Sayyidah Hajar, she ran between Safa and Marwa, how he built the stone, you cannot know all this until you just travel. He says in Arabic, لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْمُعَيْ. Something you heard is cannot be the same thing which you see by your own eyes. لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْمُعَيَنَ. We give this example in Arabic. So that's why I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made us to travel and spend amount of money and do this hardship, and you can observe by your own eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Sayyidina Ibrahim, he was living such a best planet, the place of the earth. It's called Ardu Sham. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called in the Quran Ardu Sham, Ardu al-Mubarak, the holy land. Not only holy land, just because of the one of the reasons, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent so many prophets, and also geographically, this holy land, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed so many bounties and ni'mat. Very greenery, trees, farming, nice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ibrahim alayhi salam, leave this area. And travel completely opposite. There is no water, there is no tree. Imagine how many huge sacrifice. You tell someone, mashallah, he has such a beautiful life. Everywhere is grass and greenery and he's enjoying, and go to the desert. And not the finding and doing some research to establishing my name. That's why when he was establishing the Kaaba, Kaabatullah, when he was rebuilding the structure of the Kaaba, and when he rebuilt the Kaabatullah, he made dua. What he made dua? Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Oh Allah, the reason I built this house and the reason I'm dropping off my family here, my wife Hajar and my son Ismail, and they can establish the prayer. Because as we know, the Jews, they made a lot of changes. And one of the changes they did in the religion, in the Judaism, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never command in the past to face towards the Baytul Maqdis while you are praying. The command was always the same. Follow the Ka'batullah.
Yeah.
But they made the change in their religion. And they switched the direction from Ka'batullah to the Baytul Maqdis.
Yeah.
That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the verses of the changing the direction of from Baytul Maqdis towards the Baytullah, and they start criticizing and came out, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh, why did they need to change? What is wrong with it? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. There is some foolish people among the human. They are criticizing why the God, he changed the direction. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to take this ummah and the ummah of the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards the reality. What was the reality? The reality was facing towards the Baytullah. It's all been, this is reality. But there has been so many changes came after Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's why this the first 10 days, first of all, is the part of the sacred month, Dhul Hijjah. And also, because the first 10 days, we perform the Hajj and remember the legacy of Sayyidina Ibrahim. Another interesting thing I like to share with you, which I just said last night. Quran was revealed in Ramadan. Last 10 nights of Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr. And the verses of the Quran, the verses which speaking about the commands, was completed in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The beginning of the revelation, last 10 nights of Ramadan, the completing of the revelation in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So these are the basics, importance of the Dhul Hijjah. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us.
Ameen.
And help us to benefit these beautiful days.
So in gist, we're continuing that same legacy as Abraham, peace be upon him, following his way of submitting only to one and only one God, not worshiping a human being, not worshiping animals, not worshiping the anything, idols, just the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the way he started this, and we're continuing that legacy. That's it. And then that went on with Jesus, Isa alayhi salam.
Same thing.
Moses, same. All of the prophets of Allah.
Every single prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them in the Quran Muslim. Another interesting which I like to bring. People, they call our religion Islam. Islam is always only religion from the time of Sayyidina Adam.
From the
Sayyidina Adam
first
alayhi
man,
alayhi
Adam.
Adam alayhi salam.
Same religion, Islam.
Same religion. But Islam is not something was introduced by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca. No.
It's not a new religion.
It's not a religion. He just came to reform. Because as we know, there is a guy, his name Amr ibn al-Luhay. He traveled one time Yemen, and he found the people of Yemen was worshipping the idols. He picked some idols and brought to Mecca. And he's the one, he introduced the shirk in Mecca.
He changed now.
He
this
changed
is how
now.
It went towards paganism.
Yes, paganism, yes. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you look at the first chapter, Surah Al-Baqarah in the Quran, Allah said, every single prophet used to say, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. We are Muslim. We are submitted our wills to the wills of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What do you say when the Christian, whoever else, Jew or someone else says, well, that word didn't exist. What do you say? If they say that word didn't exist.
Yeah, but the Quran was written in Arabic. Definitely we'll use the word of the Arabic word.
Yeah.
Maybe they have another word for Islam.
That's it. Maybe it's the concept.
Yes, concept. Yes.
The concept.
Yeah, for example, I can give you right now example.
Yeah, give me example.
Musa alayhi salam, when he went to the mountain of Tur, similar example, not the same. Allah, he said, establish the salat for my remembrance. Oh, Musa used to offer the salat? Salat, prayer. When you look at the translation, salat in English, prayer. Allah, he said, Musa alayhi salam, establish the prayer. But if you translate in Arabic, salat, if you translate the word of the prayer in Arabic, what do you say? Salat. Oh, does Musa used to pray Dhuhr? Used to pray Asr? No, the concept of worshipping was there. Concept of prayer was there. How they used to offer, we don't know. The same way, the word of the Islam in Arabic, but if you look at the translation, what is the word, the meaning of the Islam? Submission. Maybe they have different word for submission. That's why each prophet, they used to call themselves, we submitted ourselves.
That's a Muslim.
That's Muslim.
That's the translation. It's actually in the Lord's prayer. You know, the Lord's prayer that the Christians make. They say, O our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Yes.
Thy will be done. That means I'm submitting my will to your will. Now my desires is Islam.
Yes.
That's what it is.
So this is the meaning of Islam.
That's the meaning of Islam. To submit your will to the will of God.
Yes.
Allah.
Because we... whenever we use this word, we use it in Arabic language. Because this is the language Allah has chosen for revelation of Quran. That's why. Maybe when the Prophet was there, we had different languages speaking and they have different words.
Yeah.
But it does not mean they have different religion.
But it's the concept now.
Yeah.
The concept
because
of
the
submission.
Quran is not the book just speaking about the future issue and the current issue. Even Quran is speaking about the past.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such a book you can know exactly what had happened with Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. There is no authentic city any religion have, except the Quran can tell you what exactly happened with Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. If Allah, he said, every single one, like every single prophet was Muslim, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, the statement clearly is in Surah Al-Baqarah, is not mean they have to call themselves Muslim in Arabic language.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they have the concept.
Yes. One thing I want to touch upon before we conclude, you said a word that for many Americans is very scary because they don't understand. But when we break it down and you show the canon law is in Christianity, you would call that, and then the Hanukkah, the
Hanifa?
Sharia. And then you have the canon law. You can say this is the Christian Sharia. You have the Jewish Sharia.
Okay.
This is the divine law. So how do you have any, when you were working in Dawah, you still are as an imam here in Tampa. When people ask you about this word, Sharia, you said you were studying Sharia.
Yeah.
How do you like to, we could say the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses, the Sharia?
No, the Sharia, whenever we speak about the Sharia, is mean basically Quran and Sunnah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you put together Quran and Sunnah, and whatever, whenever we use the word of Sharia, legislation, Sharia is not, like it can help you and guide you how to live.
That's the divine law.
It is the divine law.
So at the time of Moses, his Sharia were the Ten Commandments.
Yes, Ten Commandments, yes.
Okay, so simplify and help them understand.
The same thing, like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had the book, a hadith. Yeah. Okay, so whatever the guidelines he used to give to companions, how to live, that is called the Sharia. It's not something like where the people, the understanding or Sharia is mean promoting something is extremism, for example.
Yeah.
No, it is the guidelines for the Muslim how to live according to their faith.
Family law?
Family laws. Okay, what are the things, including you are asking this question? Okay, Sharia is speaking about...
Because they think their mind takes them to amputation of the hand. They start to think of, you know, the penal code, which is probably like, what, 1% of the whole...
Yeah.
No, the whole thing of Quran. How much is speaking of the penal code?
Oh, okay. The Quran.
The hudud.
The hudud, yes.
They think right away, hudud. Okay. They think of the...
How many ayat I said in the Quran? More than
6,600.
You know, not more than 600 ayat speaking about the Sharia in the Quran.
About the hudud.
About the hudud. Only 600.
Yeah, that's the penalty for
thieves.
Yes.
So what are they included in the penalty in the Sharia? Not in the Quran, but if you look in the Quran, maybe... some basics guidelines for Hajj, for example.
That's part of Sharia.
Yeah, part of the Sharia.
What we just talked about, Dhul Hijjah, the days of Hajj with Abraham, this part of the Sharia.
And some, not every single detail, some part of Masail of fasting in Ramadan.
Fasting, how to fast, everything. That's part of divine law, Sharia.
Divine law, Sharia. And also some Masail related with the marriage.
Marriage, divorce, how to marry,
and
everything.
Inheritance,
that's part of Sharia.
That's a part of the Sharia.
You see, now when you start to explain it, and people have open mind, like, oh, okay, that makes sense. All right? That's just the law.
This is the law.
You have Christian Sharia over here. It's not, you know, and then you have Jewish Sharia. I spoke to a rabbi.
Yes.
He said, yeah, we have our version of Sharia, Jewish Sharia, right? Their version.
Yes.
Law, if you translate law.
Yes. The Quran, because if you look at the Quran...
Ours is Quran, verbatim word of God, and the authentic Sunnah,
authentic Sunnah, yes.
Now, whatever they have is over here, but...
The Quran has different chapters, like Quran sometimes speak about the law, sometimes speak about the history.
Prayer?
Yeah, prayers. Yeah, that is also...
Charity?
The charity, and zakat, like you said, the zakat. Yeah. That is also part of... And there is some also the family internal issues as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. So these are the called the Sharia. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shared really basics, not so much details, because the Quran is trying to focus on trying to short the as much as they can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done, but more detail definitely we'll find through the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So basically, whenever we use the word of the Sharia, let's divide five major things which I can tell you in Arabic language. Aqidah definitely is the belief. It is not the guidelines. The belief itself is a completely different chapter. Whenever we use the word of the Sharia, it include ibadat.
Worships.
Second, mu'amalat, how to deal with others.
How to deal with others.
Yes. And the third is akhlaq, your behavior, your moral, and your character.
Your character.
Yeah. So these are the three important things. So if you look at our religion, first we have creed, aqa'id, belief, ibadat, Mu'amalat and Akhlaq. These are the fundamental of our deen. These are the fundamental departments of our religion.
And then what are the five things that the God's law, divine law, Sharia, came to preserve? When you break down, you see the wisdoms. For example, why alcohol, gambling is forbidden.
Okay, yeah, that is the very important. Well, the scholar that says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this divine law and Sharia, to preserve 3 to 4 very important things in our life. First, hifadhatul aql. Preserve your aql.
Your intelligence. Your mind.
Your mind. Intelligence. Yes.
That's why this is forbidden.
Naam. Second, hifadhatul mal. Protection of your money.
Your money. That's why gambling is not allowed.
Yes.
Because you're going to burn your money. You're going to lose it.
Yeah. And the third, hifadhatul and hifadhatul badan. Protect your body.
Yeah. Okay. Protect your what?
Your body. And your
body.
Yeah, your body. Okay. And the fourth, and hifadhatul nasab. Protect your descendants, your family,
your lineage.
Tree. Your lineage.
That's
why
fornication, adultery is prohibited.
Yes.
And it's strict against
it. These are the four important.
Yeah.
To hifadhatul mal, hifadhatul badan, and hifadhatul aql, and hifadhatul nasab. So if someone take one command from Sharia, and if he apply one ruling, so he's been basically he's protecting these four.
And these are all good things,
yes,
people
good
would
thing.
Say. Don't you want your lineage protected?
Yes.
Don't want your mind protected?
Your
body
protected?
Your money protected?
Yes.
This is what God...
And your body didn't be protected. Yes.
So when you explain it, you unpackage it, now it's like, because they have made it seem like this is the monster who's coming to get you, boogeyman. And you put these words out there. Amazing. Thank you very much.
Jazakallah khair, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for your beautiful work, mashallah. Mashallah, I see you have a lot of good work you're doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and help you to... increase this work
Ameen.
And more human benefit inshallah
Ameen.
Through your channel, and also I hope inshallah you can be the best da'i in this country, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spread the khair. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subhanallah bihamdi subhanakallah bihamdi wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa astaghfiruka wa atubu
ilayk. What was your impression? Was this your first time pulling up to the Deen Center?
Yeah, first time. Yeah.
What was your impression? You got to see
mashallah, it's very interesting, and I used to watch the videos, and you know, a couple of times. MashaAllah, but you have a beautiful center and studio, and very amazing. You know?
Yeah, we're still working here at the Deen Show. The work is ongoing, so, you know, but you can see that.
Yes, da'wah is very important, because da'wah, one of the sheikh was visiting long time America and Western country. He said, this country, the best way and the best land for da'wah. Because if someone is open-minded and heart, you know, some people, they're very strict. But American society, one thing I like, alhamdulillah, they're very diverse. Look, doesn't matter anywhere you go, we have always haters. But I'm talking about general population, very respectful.
Yes.
You know, I have a couple of times I travel in the plane. There is the lady, she was sitting right next to me. Like 2 hours flight, entire time we had discussion about Christianity and Islam. I was trying to give some examples, you know, Jesus and all this, you know. So there is the priest was sitting right behind her from Canada. Then he was listening the entire time. Then when I stood up and he jumped. He said, you are teaching wrong, and this, and he started screaming.
Hold on. So you're on a plane, she's sitting to the right of you, and you're educating her, giving
educating
a dawah, and then the priest is
right behind her.
And then at the end of the flight, he jumps up.
Oh, yeah. When I get up with the bathroom, and he stood up, and he said, he's completely wrong, whatever you were saying is not true, and this, you know. But mashallah, this lady stood up, and he said, you better sit down. Everyone have right to speak. Everyone have the right to express his religion.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever he's talking in part time, I have no problem with it. I don't see any problem.
Do you remember exactly what were you talking about?
I was talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the life of Isa in the Quran.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, you know, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. And what are the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, good thing about the Christianity in the Quran. These are the basic examples I was trying to, and she was asking a couple of questions, like misconception about Islam, you know, something hijab, she had some, you know. So I tried to explain, and also I tried to show some differences from the Bibles, you know. Look at... So the priest, in fact, I have no idea that he was the priest, and he was listening to the whole conversation.
Yeah.
So, but basically, which I try to say, mashallah, compared to some part of the world here, and people are still diverse and very open-minded, mashallah.
Yeah.
And whenever you come up and you talk to them, and they listen and they respect, you know, and mashallah, and this is the best way to give our da'wah.
Before we conclude, what do you got to say about Jesus? What is your Quran, if someone asks you, say about Jesus? Do you hate Jesus? Do you love Jesus? What's your stance about Jesus?
Usually, my response usually is said, I cannot be Muslim without believing in Jesus.
You cannot be a Muslim without believing in Jesus.
Yeah, of course. If I say, oh, I don't believe in the prophethood of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, or Jesus, if I don't believe in the Nubuwwah and the prophethood of Sayyidina Isa, I cannot be Muslim.
But as a Muslim, do you believe that Jesus was the Messiah?
No, he was the prophet.
And he's and labeled Messiah.
Messiah, no, he was
Messiah.
He was the Messiah. And Messiah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent him. Messiah in Arabic has two meanings. One, Masih is mean wipe out.
Yes.
Masaha. You know when you do the masah?
Yeah.
Allah, He sent him to wipe out the evil from the earth.
Mm.
One. And another meaning of Masih is mean whenever He used to touch someone, He used to get healed.
Yeah. You believe in His miracles?
Yeah, His miracle. Because Allah, He mentioned all this miracle twice in the Quran.
Yeah.
One in the Surah Al-Imran and one in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah mentioned exactly all the 5-6 miracles of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So as a Muslim, how can I say, astaghfirullah, I have to say again, I have to renew my shahada. If I say I don't believe
it. Say it again.
If I deny in the prophethood of Jesus, I have to renew my shahada.
You have to renew your faith if you deny Jesus.
Because whenever we say, Amantu billahi wa malaikati wa kutubi, I believe in Allah and every single prophet.
Yeah.
So of course, as a Muslim, I must believe in Isa alayhi salam.
You must believe in Jesus. No. Do you love Jesus?
Of course. You know, Jesus.
You didn't even hesitate.
How can I, like for me, even the question itself is weird as a Muslim. Yeah. Do you love the prophet?
I know what the answer is going to be, obviously, as a Muslim. Because you ask me, I'll say this, and I'll be excited about it.
Yeah.
But for the non-Muslims, now this is probably a shock.
We love more than ourselves. The prophets, we love more than our family members.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are.
You love Jesus more than yourself and your family members?
And the family members. Why? Because they are the true and chosen servants of God on the earth. You know, and they was free from the sin. And they had a special status. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anywhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala categorized 4 categories of the believer in the Surah An-Nisa. The first category, Allah said, the best one is prophets. They are the best one. And imagine if the prophet was not exist on the planet, we would be like an animal. We don't know how to act as a human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why one time I was in Japan, there is the guy from the Brazil. He came and he took the Shahada. Was my first experience meeting with someone revered Muslim from different country. I met a couple of in India. I asked him a very simple question. He said, why did you took the Shahada? What was the reason? You know, and he said, I used to be Christian and then I started trying to find the truth and studying different religion. Then I came to conclude, let accept the Islam, and then I started studying the Quran. And I asked the question, what do you see the major difference? So he did not give me much, but I asked him one question right away. I said, you know, when they move from one religion to another religion, for example, someone was Hindu and he's become Christian, like we have a large number of convert Christian in India.
Mm-hmm.
Then I give him this example. When they left one religion and they accept the other one, you don't see much different other than just they change the place of worship and name. But daily life, same. Not much major change.
Mm-hmm.
He said, right, you're 100% right. Because when I was practicing one religion and then I changed the another one, I don't see much different other than first I was going this place and now I'm going another place of worship. But when I change towards Islam, everything's changed. Because the kalima start with la. You mean deny. This. Like change your lifestyle. Go to the nature. Go to the fitrah. You know, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the disbeliever in the Quran kafir. You know, kafara is mean the one who hides the nature.
The one who hides the nature.
Nature. Because the nature Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him and they're hiding. So when I told this.
The natural fitrah. The
natural
way.
Fitrah,
yeah, the inclination to worship one and only one God.
One God.
When I gave this example,
he said, you are right 100%. Soon when I took the shahada, a couple of brothers came and said, oh, you cannot. You have to change your life. So Islam is mean change of your life.
Mm-hmm.
The way the life you had in the past, you have to change. Change is mean not everything change. And I have to add, it's a very important thing. Change is mean, oh, then I have to change everything. No. The Prophet ﷺ said beautiful thing, Sahaba, his companions. خيارهم في الجاهلية خيارهم في الإسلام إذا فقهوا. Those they was the best in their skills, in their quality, they will be remain best in Islam. It does not mean when you take the Shahada, Islam tells you to change everything. No. You can have your profession. You can have your skill. As long as you have understanding of God, you can continue any profession as long as halal. This is the way Islam understanding is. So the reason I'm trying to make more things clear, because the word of change is huge for some people. Oh, yeah. It's change? I don't want to be a change. No, change is mean your personal life, your connection with God. There is so many damages you have in your life last 30 years. Once when you take the shahada, then you can control these damages. And mm-hmm. You can even vanish these damages.
Yeah.
So this is the meaning of Islam.
You love Jesus, but if they ask you, they say, well, why don't you believe that He's God, Son of God, and He died for your sins?
No, because two reasons. One is because accounting is against my faith and Quran, and also against the logic as well. Because we have two types of references. Al-dalal al-aqliya, al-dalal al-naqliya. There is some references is when you use as an example, then you can say it's sense, it makes sense. And some references is straight from your faith. Like, for example, if you ask me, like you ask this question, I said, yeah, because against my faith, it's against the Quran. But also is against the logic. He cannot be son of God. Why? Then I will ask, if someone believe he was son of God, then he's supposed to believe he have elder brother Adam. Who was the elder brother of Adam? Isa alayhi salam, sorry. He was the elder brother. Adam. Yeah. Adam alayhi salam, he was the elder brother of Jesus. If he believed Jesus, he was the son of God, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, I created Adam without anything. So who's supposed to be the elder son of God?
It would be Adam then.
Adam.
Yeah.
But he's not. There is no single religion or there is no single group of people you will find, oh, I believe Adam, he was son of God. And if you look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very simple. Allah, he made very simple. Allah said, خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The problem, we have to go back. Does this person believe in the power of كُنْ فَيَكُونَ? There is the power of كُنْ فَيَكُونَ in Arabic. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells something, be and it's happened right away. If you don't believe this power of God, then definitely you will have a lot of issues. Then you cannot believe so many things. If someone start believing in power of كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, when Allah, he tell his creation, be, and it's happened right away, then so many things for easy for this person to believe. There is two types we have. One is called Nizam and Qudrat. You cannot mix together. Nizam and Qudrat. As a Muslim, we believe every day sun is rising from east. But you heard the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said about the Day of Judgment, sun is going to rise from where? West.
The west.
West. You believe this hadith? Okay. We have two things. One is Nizam, system. Allah, he created this system and universe, and he attached the system of the universe with Nizam, the Nizam and the programming which he designed. Male and female get together, and human born. Every creation, a male and female, you know. This is the way Allah created the system. But we misunderstood, when God, he created the system, he did not create it for his own self. That is what misunderstanding is coming. Oh, he... How is possible male or female or someone can born without this? We are suddenly objecting on the God. Okay? Because we have misunderstanding about the power of God. What about the system you are seeing every day? This is for ourselves, not for the God. God is above the system. He can go against the system anywhere, anytime he wills and he wants. I have example. Example of Adam alayhi salam, for example. He created without any material. There is the word in Arabic, Bari. But if you look at translation in English, Bari is mean creator. But deep meaning in Arabic, the one who create from non-existent and bring from non-existent to existence without any material and sample was Adam alayhi salam. Okay. We have example of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. When the angel came and gave him good news of Sayyidina Ismail, his wife, look at his wife's response. Inna hadha la shay'un ajeeb, such a strange. I'm too old and my husband is too old. How can I have? Allah, he said, are you surprising from the commands of Allah? Subhanallah, ata'ajabina min amrillah. You know, the way Allah, he said about the Isa alayhi salam, kalimatullah, the commands of Allah, the same way Allah, he said, Sayyidina Ibrahim, you surprised and your wife, she surprised from the commands of Allah. The entire human, maybe they born from my nizam, my system which I design, but I'm above the system. I can go against the system which I designed for the human. So people have to understand what is the Nizam, what is the Qudrat. Nizam for us. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows some miracle. Something can come from the power of Allah without Nizam and system. Like example of Sayyidina Adam. Example of Sayyidina Ibrahim have baby when they was old. An example of the camel. You know the story of the camel with Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam and the nation of Thamud? When they request and when they demand Sayyidina Salih, can Allah, he send this camel from the mountain? Do you think any science can prove it's possible to rock and the mountain can deliver the camel? Complete different creation, not even gender, different creation. But entire group, they notice this miracle. Mm-hmm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he show a couple of examples. So when, if you ignore the, all the history from Adam alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the story of the camel, and the same way, the story, if you don't link the birth of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam with these stories, then you will not understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. So that's why these are the very basic information. And first we have to believe in kun fayakun, power of kun fayakun.
Imam Sulaiman, thank you very much.
Jazakallah khair for your time, and also you give me this opportunity to come and share this beautiful platform. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you success. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide every single human toward the straight path.
Ameen.
Jazakallah khair.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you guys for tuning in. And if you'd like to learn more, if you're open-minded and you're seeking to know the purpose of life, why you've been created, why you're here, and you really want to look and dive deep into the Quran, free for you from me, a gift, go to thedeenshow.com, pick up your copy and start reading today. We'll see you next time. Until then, subscribe, hit that notification bell. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.